a confusion about pillars. The reason there's confusion about the pillars is because that's all you know. You know nothing else except pillars. So you can't identify.
Pillars for the trees?
I knew somebody was going to say that. I'm just sad it was you.
Just read it off my pillow.
But we are so, our persona is so totally encompassed by the graven images on that pillar that we literally know nothing else. And we judge everything by that comparison, by the thing that's on the pillar. What I'm talking about with regard to pillars, in every arena of life, every time when you're confronted with a situation, whether it be a need or something to do or a problem or a stimulus, your response is not a thought, a word, and completion, which faith demands. Your response is a thought, now how do I solve this? Now what do I do about this? Now what can I do to improve this? What can I do to solve this? What can I do how can I make a better grade? Rather than confronted with a stimulus, you see the stimulus, you formulate the thought defines whatever it is you desire based on that stimulus. That moment between the definition of the of the thought required for the stimulus and the word required to speak that thought or that thing into completion becomes infinitely long in your life. What you do instead of faith, which demands that you simply speak the thing that the stimulus demands into existence, you sit there and muse over it and define a method to understand it. You define a method to solve the problem. You define a method to meet the need. It's so endemic to your nature that you don't even realize you're doing it. But it is the greatest enemy of faith. It's the greatest enemy of belief. Now, the reason you do this is because in your limited definition of success, you have defined your own limitations, and therefore you are able to come up with a successful solution in that minuscule arena. Remember, the cliche is that, you know, if you define your parameters narrow enough, then there's nothing in the world you can't do. I mean, you're a big fish in your own little pond. But you can't really, but it's only because you've defined the limited parameter. Now, what I want to do and what I'm going to do this weekend is to blast those parameters. To see your stupidity in affecting a solution based on those limited parameters. Do you understand? Is there anybody that doesn't understand what a grove is now?
Explain it again. Just to make sure.
You mean a pillar.
I mean a pillar. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me.
Okay. I got a question. What do you want us to write on this list exactly? I wasn't here that night. I've heard a couple of things.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the format. The only thing that I know is that in order for the pillar to be destroyed, first of all, you have to have a readiness to revenge it because you see it as disobedience. And second, and you see it as an enemy of faith and an enemy of freedom and an enemy of joy. If you don't see it as an enemy, you're going to embrace it. So that's the first thing, is to see it as an enemy. Now, the only way that you can see it as an enemy is to have the limited parameters that you've defined expanded. Now, you know, if one of the groves is, I mean, one of the pillars is how you think you should appear. Well, that one's, we'll you know, and every one of you have those pillars. You have a definition of how you think you should appear, because somewhere in the past, you have. That's why Christ, he has no form nor comeliness, and when men see him, there's nothing in him that they should desire him, because he will meet no definition of a pillar. Now, you have ways of interacting with people that have been, in your own limited way, they have been successful for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have kept them. Now, I want you to come out of the pillar environment where you will feel as comfortable with kings as you do with paupers. I want you to feel as comfortable in a tuxedo as you do in jeans. I want you to be so free that there is never again a need to compare yourself with anyone else. I want you to be so free that there is never, obviously, you'd never envy anybody else. The only reason you envy anyone or are jealous of someone is because of the pillar. Because they have been more successful at meeting your image that's on the pillar than you are. And so by definition then, you envy them.
Or you think they're better than you are.
Yeah. Well, that's what envy is. So that you the as we talked about the other night, that the end result of this would be that you would never again compare yourself with anyone. Now, do you have a little better understanding?
I understand better, but I'm afraid I'm stuck in Butch's place. What the heck am I supposed to talk about then? Or am I just going to sit here and be a target?
That sounds good.
It's probably going to be more of that than it was at Groves, because the pillars are more obvious.
Well, I would assume so, because I asked the question originally. I'm still in the position of, you know, I can catch a glimpse of some of the larger ones, but I still am in this position of not really, you know, of knowing that they're all these how-tos are here, because you know, you can't be a programmer without how-tos, and you can't, you know, all my life is based, is wrapped up in how to do this, that, and the other.
Yeah, but okay. That's fine. But the thing that God senses and sees as evil is you've defined your parameters so small that you can't see the need to destroy them.
Maybe that, I agree with that, because I wrote down about disobedience and it being an enemy. I can't understand that. I don't see the parameters that you're talking about.
Okay, do you understand why the pillar causes you to be an enemy of faith?
Well, as long as you have a how-to, you can't trust. You don't have to trust God to do something.
You don't have faith.
Okay, so I understand that.
Okay, that's the key thing that we're about. The end result of what we're about is faith that worketh by love. Nothing else. Now, what Jesus did in the temptation of Christ, I mean, what is that? He, by the by, Remember, we all went through this. You've probably forgotten what the temptation of Christ meant. When the one clear example was, is he took him to the high mountain and in a moment of time showed Christ all the kingdoms of the world. Now, think about that. That's not just talking about governments, or it's all of the kingdoms, all of the arenas of success. He showed them of all of the entire world, past, present, and future. And he rejected them. Why did he reject them? And what was the meaning of the temptation of that moment was Satan was thinking that he was accomplishing something of value by showing Christ and tempting him in that arena. What God used that temptation for in Christ is the total and complete destruction of all the pillars. Because if he could reject all the power and all the glory of all of the kingdoms of all time, then there could be no pillar. The pillar was destroyed. Now you have been satisfied, no matter how quote-unquote successful or great or whatever, whatever it is you think you are, you're a fool. Because all you've done is defined a limited arena of success and said, look at me, da-da-da. If you could see that in your best you were a total failure, if the parameters were taken off, then you would have no other option other than faith. And so I'm going to destroy you this weekend. And hopefully destroy myself. I find it fascinating that both John and Tom, and maybe others, are truly fearful of this experience.
Yeah. It's coming, you know, it's coming from someplace. Whereas the growth thing, there was some apprehension and weirdness, but it was like,
it didn't affect your true identity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the pillar was safe. It knew it wasn't going to come next year.
That's exactly what I was thinking earlier, because I remember I've been remembering that since you told me that Thursday was my day, and this whole thing's been all over me since then. I remember I wasn't worried about Groves last year. I was looking forward to Groves last year.
See, your means to operate is being tampered with.
Well. Yeah, it's like the things which truly give you see, the groves don't really give you identity other than some subconscious thing. But the pillars are your total identity.
We're going to do some unidentified flying objects. Well, also, though, I think that, you know, there are those of us who tend to operate in the emotional realm far more predominantly than the rational. Tom, I think, is a perfect example of somebody that operates a tremendous amount of time in the rational realm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, but it's stop a minute and think how complex you are. And if you can understand that in that complexity, it defines the whole purpose of the complexity is to define a position which takes you away from the moment of dependence. That's the reason your mind is like it is. It takes everything about you has been an enemy of faith. Everything about your mind has been an enemy of that which is that simple faith that we talked about last night, about the thought, the word, the deed. There's no action required. That's why I've told you 10,000 times that it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's God's good pleasure to meet every need you could ever define with no effort on your part. And the only thing that keeps that from being manifest are these identities that you have that are an enemy of grace. They're ways of doing that are competing alliance for faith. Now the world has taught you that. Your family has taught you that. It's all the fires of Molech that you were passed through at the young age, where it's a perfect type, because it was the man's body with the bull's head. I mean, the head is the head of Balaam, the false god. Not just one Baal, but many, many, many Balaam. Remember, there were 450 prophets of Baal when Elijah came. Now, what we are doing in the spirit, hopefully, is we're going to remove time from the equation of your pillars. Now, when you remove time from the pillar, from the images on the pillar, the engravings on the pillar, then you can see their ridiculousness. If you're operating in time, you're not operating in faith. Now, this is the kind of stuff that's going to eventually get us killed. Because it's the complete and exact opposite of everything that's taught in the world system.
Turns it upside down.
Was there a time, like before the Tower of Babel or something, when people operated differently?
The only time it ever was, and that the only time that ever occurred when this operation was manifest was with Adam and Eve before the fall and with Christ. What I'm talking about is that is the only times that it was ever completed. Now in Adam and Eve, it was innocence. That's all they knew. There was no self-consciousness, so therefore there could be no pillars.
Right.
In Christ, there was the self-consciousness, the development of the pillar, the destruction of the pillar.
The repudiation of the whole
right.
thing.
He overcame it all.
Yeah.
And that power, that resurrection power, is manifest and available within you. All you have to do is see that it's needed. I've told you so many times, my function in life is to show you the crisis you're in, and then to show you at the same instant the power that's available. Your way of thinking, the world's way of thinking, is impossible with that thinking, that thought process, to please God, because you're operating in the mind of a Gentile. And you're just playing this fucking game in the name. You're just putting a cultural Christian overlay on your idolatry. You've taken that pillar and you've put the cross on it, and you've put bumper stickers on it, and every one of your little deals is on that pillar. Now, especially the religious among you, you've made it religious to do those things, and you've totally perverted all of the meanings and the wonderful sayings of Christ to meet that perversion. The great one that that people use is the parable of the talents. So it's a talent. I have talent. I'm going to use that talent for the Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. Good stewardship. Well, I'm a good steward for God, so therefore I'm going to invest my money wisely, or I'm going to do this. Why? The only time that you are to be a steward of God is to be a steward of the mystery of Christ in you. Everything else is to be abandoned in faith. Well, in Isaiah 26, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Believe me, this works. I mean, I can't even believe that I had the same, I mean, I had all the pillars that everybody else does. But they're gone. I mean, I probably had a great deal more than Tom or John ever dreamed of having. You know, I had my life planned out in a 5-year plan, options of what to do, what not to do. I was going to be a billionaire before I was 40. I was going to be elected president, if not president, at least the U.S. Senate. I had and those were my gods. They were totally and completely in control of me. They defined my mode of action. Many thousands of others, but I can't even believe that they ever existed. Now, a lot of you have similar things, but there are still things that the whole process of this how to do stuff, it's gone. It doesn't have any power over you. That's what you have to see. Your only function is to respond honestly to every stimulus, to every moment, without the interface of this filter that you call your conscious mind. Capiche?
Amen. Well, I know I've been catching myself sitting there saying, well, this is what I need to do within X number of days, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I'll catch myself saying, whoa, wait a minute, I can't do that. I've gotten to the point of saying, hey, whoa, we can't do that.
But what do I do?
Well, I don't understand.
Okay, the first thing you have to remember is that the desire at any given moment is pure. The promise of God is He shall give you the desires of your heart. Notice it says, give you. So if something's given to you, there's no effort required. There's no how-tos. So the desire is pure. Whatever that desire is, you rest in it. You speak it, you formulate the thought, you speak it, and you wait. It's finished as far as God's concerned.
All will be provided.
Amen. With no effort on your part.
But how do you keep that?
Every time you see it,
yeah, the other, you know?
I know. But every time you see that, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives. See, the interesting thing about the Holy Spirit, in many ways, the Holy Spirit, and this is going to sound blasphemous, but I'll say it anyway. In many ways, the Holy Spirit's function is dependent on the witness of the Word in preaching to the witness of the Word in spirit. For instance, we've gone through this before, but had I not told you 1,000 times that to take any thought for yourself or any thought of self-realization, had you not known that was sin, you'd have gone blithely on your way, getting self-realized for Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
So what happens then, as something is preached, the Holy Spirit then is activated in that arena, and you'll find that 10,000 times a day you'll catch yourself. What's the option at the point of catching yourself? Turning from self.
It's like the Holy Spirit is a rock and you're the hard place.
Well, I don't know. It seems if I can get to the morning shower, I'm fine.
But that's the process.
You haven't heard my shower.
The process is turn from self, ever and always. That's what it means to deny self.
So it's a constant process of then of just, wait a minute, Hoss, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's simply saying, hey, this is bullshit. Yeah. That's all you have to do. I mean, there's nothing religious about it.
And what you were saying the other day was that this continual seeing and, confessing, speaking to it and everything, it changes your brain patterns.
Amen.
So and the power of the Spirit in you somehow, you know, because these things aren't big deals to you. You don't go around wanting to be president anymore.
Amen.
But you know, there's always other things to confront. But it's you're not locked in forever.
No, there is a cycle.
Deals.
The hope that is set before us and the surety that's set before us is there's the better thing. There's the thing that replaces that is so much better that it's not even worthy of being compared to that stuff, you know. And what it is, it's not waiting someday for glory, it's the revelation of your eternal residence in all promise, all power, all everything at this instant, at every instant. You know, it's like, you know, God no longer wants you to crawl around under the table eating crumbs of food. He's invited you to the banquet table. Sit up and take the chair and feast. You don't have to suffer. What the hell does suffer mean? Suffer just means it's the self. You know, you're not sitting in a dentist chair anymore. You're free. Now, every time you get tempted to go back to self, then you'll be confronted with suffering and the cross, and my God. But the cross is this is the perfect revelation of your death, His resurrection. He doesn't need your help. You know, every time you're tempted to get on with some solving problem or problem solution kind of thing, you know, it's what you're doing in effect is Christ has been buried, He's crucified and He's buried, and you're down there trying to figure out how to resurrect Him. Lots of luck. If He isn't sufficient in His resurrected power for every need at that moment, He's not sufficient for any need. It's either all faith or no faith. And the enemy of faith is figuring it out.
What if figuring it out is not really a need, it's just an entertainment?
I got some land I want to sell you.
Florida.
What
figuring it out is choosing to eat the crumbs
rather than anything. The promise is that, I mean, there is, the promise is a spiritual man understands all things.
I know.
Figuring it out is, in a very real sense, an attempt to contain God within the brain, which is nothing more than an attempt to rise above the original I will.
Do you remember everything? I want you to start living it, start seeing it, that every second is simply thought, word, deed. Well, let me put it another way. It's desire, thought, word, deed. Huh?
I got another step in there.
Well, I mean, the desire is... It doesn't... I mean, there's no accident that says God will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
But you run around trying to... You know, don't you see when every time that you begin a solution situation, every time... God, you've covered God. You've put a layer of plastic 10 billion miles thick between you and the Father. And the truth has fallen in the streets and you're trampling on it. Now, everybody's sitting here trying to figure it out now.
What is the role of the body? I mean, but part of the point is that we can't do this by ourselves.
Oh, yes, the point is, you can do it by yourselves far easier.
I just love to argue.
As I told you, this stuff is child's play. Thought, word, and deed. Destruction of pillars. It's child's play. It's a childish thing in the scriptures.
Okay. Then, I mean, if we can do this, then why the body? Why is this necessary?
Do you really want me to answer that?
Well, it's just a rhetorical question.
I really don't want to answer.
Well, yeah, go ahead and answer it.
If you so feel led.
Because this is the area of the greatest deception. That God has so designed it this way, that it's easy. It's like in the yoga, that if you achieve the fifth chakra, then that's the point of the time when you're most easily deceived. Because you leave that, you have the power, and you leave it. You don't make the seventh, but because you've sort of apprehended the power, and you've taken it to self. You have to know that you have this power, otherwise there's no test. If you don't know you have this power, then you can't ever be tested.
You know, when you're talking about that, I feel like if I'm not in a... I can't see you. What happened? Sit over here. I feel like if I'm not in a...
Oh, that was good, wasn't it?
Understanding mode, that I feel like I'm rocketing whatever I'm into here. I would feel, you know, I can only imagine... You know, the opposite of trying to figure it out or whatever it is, and maybe I'm defining this too broadly or something. The other mode is saying this isn't important. That's the only two things I can.
No. There's a third. See. There's another option.
Well, I was hoping there would be.
The option is, Father, I don't understand this. Reveal it to me.
But that's kind of getting into understanding.
Well, I mean, but if you're there, you're there. If you're a child, you don't act like an adult. You just be you. But as you being you is progressing in the spirit through the child, the adolescent, the young man, and the father, then you're continually confronted with what looks like contradictory evidence.
Yeah.
In the same way in the spirit. You being you is never going to change. That's the one common denominator. Now, all that we're doing is defining more clearly, and the path is getting much more narrow for what you really are. It's the idea of what sin is becoming, my God, pretty soon...
Everything
is, and then in an instant, nothing is. I know you love that one. To the pure in heart, all things are pure. To the pure means empty. It means there's no, your conscience has been emptied or cleared from these dead works. In order that you might serve the living God, the poor, the pure, the... All of these mean the same. There is nothing there that inhibits the manifestation and the flow of the living water. And as the living water flows, I mean, obviously it nourishes the one who it's flowing through, but that's not its function. Every time that I begin to be concerned with, how am I going to do this? What's going to happen now? What do we understand? And now my biggest deal now is, well, what is the body going to do? That's my grove, I mean my pillar. And so, but that's just as evil. You know, even though it sounds real religious to think I'm thinking about others' benefit or something, it's just another grove, I mean another pillar. The point is that you're only aware of God in this continual outpouring.
So
in this moment.
So it's a continual saying, hey, let's do this, or hey, that's what that means, or hey, the body's going to go do this now.
It's a constant state of wonderment.
That's weird.
Hey.
Ben Morrison.
Hey, that's weird.
it. I'm not going to worry about it.
We don't all have to go around saying, hey, hey. Hey, Carla.
Well, that's that song I played here about 6 or 7 months ago. All the sense of wonder, the words of Christ were, didn't I come to give you a sense of wonder?
I was thinking about when John said that's weird. I was thinking about pictures I've seen of him when he was a kid. You know, I was thinking about
that's
being
weird.
A kid and, you know, just lying out and looking at the clouds. And then if you got hungry, you went inside and said, can I have a peanut butter jelly sandwich? And then you went outside and let's play so and so. And then somebody said, no, let's not play that. Let's play this now.
That's it. That's
okay.
It.
I'm not
going to
be your friend anymore.
I hate you.
I'm not going to be your friend anymore.
That's it. That's what life is. It's the wonderment of that small child.
Looking at
flying rats.
Railing.
Flying doctor.
That was
we're not going to get there's no more pillar envy going to talk about today. I want to read some stuff from Isaiah 40 because I'm serious. I don't want you to enter this with an idea of dread. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah, just because you say you're going to destroy it.
And the next
oh,
breath
yeah.
He said it's a dread.
Don't. Because
we're all going to be midgets.
Comfort ye.
You know what I mean about the bottom.
Comfort, yeah, how many?
You were like, I'm 5'1". I can't short.
Shut up. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Boy, I jumped when you said, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
That's my role. That's the function. That's why Elijah was the type of John the Baptist was the type of Elijah, and the preacher is the type of Elijah. And that's my role. And so it's done. It's finished. Your warfare is accomplished.
Yeah.
All this is still the old identity trying to hang on, and it's only dragging you down, and you know it is. Now what's set before you is pure joy, unfettered joy, the total and complete absence of againstness. The certainty that there's no fear that can ever again come upon you. I mean, this is the gospel, folks. This is the gospel as it's manifesting itself in the very core of your being, so that you are what you say you are. There's no more fear, there's no more worry, there's no more comparing. And when, man, can you, I mean, if a group of 20 or 30 people, if this is manifest in, I mean, it's going to explode in this fucking world.
Amen.
You're free. And all we're doing now is we're attacking. Remember I told you about that the only place that demons lived was in the ruins? Okay, now you've had some ruined houses. And now what we're doing is we're knocking down the last pieces of that ruin so that there can be no thing in it ever again, except the glory of the Lord who's filled the temple. So this isn't something to fear. When I say I'm going to destroy you, I'm simply going to knock down the walls, and you're going to help.
This does punch a hole in time and space and does bring the spirit into the flesh.
The thought, the word, and the deed. It's finished. Behold. I think, remember I told you I thought Ezekiel was made for droves? And mostly Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Isaiah is made for pillars. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. Behold means look at him, see. As you see him, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, who bringeth bread from the earth. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand and will keep thee. Give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison houses. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The graven images are on the pillar. All we know in religion in the world today is people trying to give the glory of God to the pillar. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voices. The village that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth. Hear this now. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemy. I have long holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. You understand he's talking? You don't get a flip about it. I mean, he's talking about in here. This is your warfare. Or you can go almost any place in Isaiah and see this repeated over and over.
I feel like this pillar stuff is like the what to say in Jonah, where the bars of the earth wrapped around him, or the seaweed.
seaweed wrapped around him.
Wrapped around his neck, and he was down at the bottom of the sea, and it seemed so strong and so hopeless that getting us there is just so we'll cry out, because he can deliver us in a minute. But just getting there to where we're, you know, our stubbornness is even, you know, to the point where we can even cry out.
Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. Understand it. Don't let that one go by. You're formed from the womb. He made all those pillars. He made all those groves. He did all those engravings on there. He didn't do it. He did it.
He likes a challenge.
He did it so that what? So that his seed in you would be tested in every one of these arenas. So that it would be complete, perfect, wanting, lacking in nothing, never again by any dimension possibly tempted to go elsewhere. So don't, he made him.
He's been tempted at all points as we, and that's the source of compassion.
Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of the Lord, by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. That's good stuff. Now comes the... And his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first. I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. You see, every one of those things, you or your mind, you see as a God, because that's what you give importance to. You worship that. And who, as I shall call and declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people. And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is God a God beside me? Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god, or molten a graven image, that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. Now, this is the image of making a physical molten image. But I want you to see it, that it's also the physical process of engraving these value systems on your pillar. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashioneth with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arm. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread, Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eat flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue with he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh, I have eaten it. Then shall I make the residue thereof an abomination. Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand? You see what you've done? All of your images are after the fashion of a man. They don't look like a man in your consciousness, but in your in your real identity, they look like a successful man.
It seems like it goes from using whatever is there at hand to taking it, and after you've used a portion of that which is for the using, the rest of it, you consume it upon identity and whatever else seems to give you life.
Right. Yeah. But we're fools enough to worship that thing that that we've we just take a little bit of it and make it a god. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a whole lot of others, but. What I was going to talk about tonight. I want to read a little bit more from Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Ho. You got to pay attention when it says ho.
Oh, oh, I was like,
you too can be a ho.
You too can be a ho.
That's bad.
With
little or no effort.
Jesus wouldn't say that.
Ho. Everyone. Everyone's a hoe. Behold, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in that completeness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to thy people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, there's no such thing as a non-wicked way, and there's no such thing as a righteous thought. It's the act of the thought process which produces the unrighteousness. The evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. So it said, what it says is, let all the wicked forsake their way, and let man forsake his unrighteous thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, if we could see clearly, we would see how our attempts at figuring out, our attempts at problem solving, are crucifying the Lord afresh. That's what we have to see. Otherwise, none of this will be meaningful. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now that's all. That doesn't mean, I mean, that's all of all thoughts, all ways. Not what you think are good ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you see the...
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Just tidy enough here.
We're making things neat. So you can make a list.
Hello.
You told us.
For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud. I'm not going to say thither. Is that what you're like?
I happen to catch a glimpse of Harry and it made me laugh. I don't know why.
It's called nervous laughter.
Nervous Harry.
But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in a thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Oh. In Jeremiah, there's another one of my favorites. It says, how long shall your vain thoughts lodge within you? But, you know, you're confronted with a need. The evidence of the leaven of Herod is that you try to figure out how to meet that need. The leaven of Herod is so endemic to the nature of the beast that it can only be dealt with the cross. I mean, do you understand? I hope this is touching you. That I hope you see that all of those things are the opposite of the thought, word, deed. That understand?
Mm-hmm. I was sitting here trying, you know, when we were talking about this, I was trying to think, what's the difference between, you know, this spontaneous mind? I mean, if this thought process, if all the thoughts are, all your thoughts are wicked and bad, and I thought about well, birds, dogs, you know, they're spontaneous. And you know, I thought it a little long. I guess the only difference being that the spontaneousness is always inward. I mean, it's in them.
Well, no. No, look. Well, guess, it says, you know, consider. It says consider. I mean, consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field.
Well, maybe they're meeting their purpose, but their purpose is only...
It's only to show us faith. It's the only reason... I mean, just think about God designing the world. I mean, right? God designed the world for a purpose. The singular purpose of the way the world is designed is so that everything when he spoke is simply reproduced a simple part of him to reveal something to us. You know, the reason we have pets is to show unconditional love. The reason we have the vegetable kingdom is to show growth with no effort, to meet need with no effort. The reason there's, you know, the bugs is to show us the creepy crawly things that are really the condition of our mind. I mean, everything in the universe reveals this mystery. The reason there's birds flying is so we can look at them and understand faith.
Yeah, they don't have consciousness, but they also don't have the capacity to be tested, so...
Well, they don't contain the Holy One of Israel.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to think of that, you know, bird, seeing a bird flying and its sole purpose is to...
To reveal something to you.
Christ.
Has nothing
to just be beautiful, whatever, yeah. Whatever. That's awfully simplistic.
It's true.
Yeah. Most of the things we do don't have to be thinking about it. You know, you can go through a whole day and do all the things, and you don't have to take thought of yourself. That's what I mean. You think about what you're doing, but you're not taking thought of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Let me. Hebrews 4, verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Don't you see, that's all the pillars do, is cause you to think that there's a work necessary.
I was thinking about the way the pillar and the grove symbolize the sexual idea, and so people in the worship of it would act out what the pillar symbolized.
Right.
Which is what we do when we act out the way we think we're supposed to be according to our pillar. And that's the adultery and fornication of in spiritual
right.
terms.
Right. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So what we're doing in this process, in another sense, is dividing asunder soul from spirit with a sacrificial knife. Down to the point of even bone and marrow. Now, in reality, all we're doing, and never forget this, is we're discerning the sacrifices. We're dissecting Jesus so that we can fully apprehend what is finished and what is accomplished. And as we apprehend that, then we can neglect, we can forget the things of the past, press on. There's no need to play the childish games anymore, the childish things. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. When I became a man, I stopped going to success in life seminars.
You gotta say full gospel businessman.
I stopped being concerned with problem solving and how-tos. And I only saw the fullness of God. Amen?
Amen.
One other thing and then we'll quit. Hebrews 5 verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And another way of saying that is to have their senses exercised to discern the dump from the New Jerusalem. Now, notice, it's exercised by use, by reason of use. In other words, you've used it, you've taken it to the end. Now, see, because all of that stuff about the milk and the first principles, all of that is the childish things, are the childish things. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, incredible thing to say, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, because all as a child you are doing is taking all those things of God and writing them on the pillar. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to, etc., etc., etc. But do you see the tie-in of going on? I mean, all of the things on the pillar are the things in the Valley of Gehenna. Even if they're God stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, a great many of you have a great many pillars about this body, about me.
I didn't think I did, but when I was talking about this and I was writing down some of my responses, it it pointed me in that direction.
In Timothy, it talks about that my role is to teach those that oppose themselves. And that's what the pillar causes. It causes you to compare yourself and therefore to oppose yourself. Mm-hmm. That's enough.